Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you about this king for a few moments. Now, to be honest with you, we could finish church right now and everyone would be pretty encouraged, right? But the reality of it is there's lots to talk about the king. Here's the thing. If you have a king, you have a kingdom. And it's important for you and I to realize that we're part of a kingdom that is not of this world. You know, our citizenship is where it's of heaven, the Word of God says. And the question is, are we really walking in that? Are we really, or do we read it in the Bible and we're like, yeah, I know. I know when I die, I'll go to heaven. There's a kingdom up there. And that's okay to know that. But there's more to it than that. The kingdom is here right now. Just as the glory covers the earth, as the waters cover the sea, the presence of God is here right now. His kingdom is here right now. And for us as believers in Christ, we need to see him right now. Amen? We have to get our eyes off what we see around us, off the TV, off the printed page, off all of that, and focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the solution to every question you've got, to every problem going on. He is the answer to everything. The question is, are we believing it or not? And here's some things that I want to talk to you about. I want to share with you today the importance of the kingdom. John, the Apostle John, had an encounter with God. He had many encounters. But when you read the book of Revelation, he has a specific time where an angel comes and speaks to him and reveals some things about heaven, about the kingdom. And so I want to just look at a couple of verses, all right? If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to go to Revelation chapter 19. I want you to see what our position is right here and right now. All right, not in the by and by, not 20 years from now, 100 years from now, or 1,000 years from now, but right here, right now. Let's just read this. Revelation 19, we're going to begin at verse 6. And this is John saying this. He says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me," this is the angel saying to John, "these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So this begins, as you look back at verse 6, it talks about the sound of a great multitude as the sound of many waters. How many people have heard or been by a bubbling brook or a stream and you hear the whooshing of the water or when it's raining? In fact, there's people who actually buy, or you can get tracks online of just hearing rain or streams running, and it helps to calm you and have better sleep. How many people have done something like that over the years? Yeah, pretty cool, right? And so here's the thing. The comparison right here is of millions and millions of people, as well as angelic beings, worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in perfect harmony. Think about a stream, how it just flows and it's all harmonized together. That literally no one's out of tune. You know, everyone's just, you know, in lockstep in the spirit, worshiping and praising God. That's what God has called you and I to do right here, right now. You see, we're called to walk in harmony in the spirit. Here it's talking about, you know, singing and praising him, acknowledging him for who he is. And we need to do that. But I want to take it a step further and talk about the harmony in the spirit that you and I are to have right now with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he is your King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you are his child. You are a citizen of where? Of heaven. And as a citizen of heaven, we have access to the throne of God. And in that access, we now can walk in harmony with him in the spirit. See, I'm not just talking about worship, you know, Sunday morning, as great as it is. I'm talking a step beyond that, that when you wake up in the morning, you're in harmony in the spirit with his spirit. In other words, Lord, what is it that you want to do today? And you're asking him, seeking him. And you know you got responsibilities. You know, if you have a job, you got school, you know, family matters. You know those things you got to deal with. I get that. And it's not like Jesus is going to say, you know, you got to go to work. I hope you know you probably should go to work. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. So if you want to eat, go to work, okay? So you know that. I'm talking about while you're at work. And your co-worker comes up and they're telling you a sad tale. Maybe they're sick or something's happened in their family. And instead of saying, oh, that's too bad, you know, and, you know, kind of feeling bad for them, to be in harmony with the Spirit while that conversation's going on in the natural, in this kingdom, you are connected with the invisible realm, the kingdom that you and I are to be more aware of than the natural. And as that person's speaking in the Spirit, you're saying, Lord, this person's saying this. What do you want me to do? What am I to say? Am I to pray? Am I to do this? Am I to do that? What does my king want me to do? And that we're at the beck and command of our king in heaven. So that when that conversation is happening, we're already talking. It's not like we walk away and, oh man, I should have done that. Or I should have done it. Stop doing that. Be in tune. Be in harmony. Be in lockstep as you're walking. As that conversation is happening. Listen, can you walk and chew gum at the same time? Anybody here? Can you do that? Anyone? All right. Then you can hear someone talking to you, and you can be praying to God at the same time. It's like walking and chewing gum at the same time. I've had trouble with that, but most of the time I can do it. And if I can do it, you can do it as well. And so it's so important for us to realize that there's a kingdom that's unseen that's more real than the kingdom that is seen. And that we're called to be a part of that kingdom. So it goes on and it talks about this, you know, they're singing hallelujah, you know, praise the Lord, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Now that word omnipotent means all powerful. Now it doesn't say that the Lord all powerful will reign. It doesn't say he has reigns. It's saying he does reign all powerful. So I need you to understand this. That's not just in heaven in the by and by that he's all powerful. Or maybe in a distant past when Jesus walked the earth, it is through all time, from the before time began, all the way to the end, and everywhere in the middle of it. He is all powerful over every circumstance of life, over everything that you are concerned about. He is more powerful than any problem you've got. Yeah. So let me ask you this. Have you talked to him about that problem today? Have you gone to him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and says, Lord, I got a problem and I know you're all powerful. Or do you do what I do sometimes because you think, I can handle this, God? Anybody else ever done that? How's that worked out for you? I know how it's worked out for me, not real well. When I don't include God in the mix and make him the guide and the lead to me, man, it never goes very well. So he is all powerful. Acknowledging that is so important. But we're not even to the good part. We're not to the part that I really want to make a point of this morning. It goes on and says this, let us be glad and rejoice, give him glory, for the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. All right, so we need to define a couple of things. First of all, who's the Lamb? Well, if we go to Scripture, we can see that John the Baptist, when Jesus first publicly came on the scene, what did John the Baptist say? He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. So that Lamb is Jesus, when we know that. And then it goes on, it says, you know, talks about the bride. And if we go to Scripture again, and we're not going to look it all up, but in numerous places, it talks about the bride of Christ being the church. You and I are the bride of Christ. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are the bride of Christ. And in fact, all this that I'm talking about right now, about the kingdom, the invisible realm, and all that, has one entrance to get into. See, sometimes people talk about God, and they talk about the kingdom, and they talk about all these things, and you're left saying, okay, well, I guess everybody gets in. No, that's not true. There's only one way onto salvation, the Bible says, and that's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the gateway. He is the only way. He said that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes onto the Father. No one enters the realm of the Spirit into the kingdom of God except for by him. And so it's not about joining a church or denomination. It's about asking Jesus into your heart to forgive you of your sins, to forgive you of your mistakes, to ask him to help you through the rest of your life. And if you're willing to do that, or if you have done that, you are the bride of Christ. Any brides here? I know it's a little weird for us guys to put our hand up and say that, but we are, you know, Mike's forcing himself to put his hand up over here in the right, or my left. So the point is, it can be difficult, but here's the thing. This is so, so important. So let's read this a little bit further. And it goes on and says, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen. It makes sense, right? It's a wedding. She should look awesome, right? Clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now, as I was reading this scripture this week, I'm going to be quite honest with you. I read that, and I've read it hundreds of times. But the Holy Ghost began to speak to me and ask me this question. How do your linens look to you? Because it says the righteous acts of the saints. And I understand as a believer, we're covered by the blood of Christ, and we're totally forgiven, and we have access to heaven. But these linen garments are very specific. It's talking about our righteous acts. In other words, the things that you and I have done under the direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I had to take an honest look at my life and say, Lord, is every moment of the day, am I doing righteous things for you? Now, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I told him no. Because the bottom line is that I'm human. I have failings. I say things wrong. I do things wrong. I think things wrong. You know, the list goes on and on. And so I began to think about some of the filthy clothing that was still connected to me, if you know what I'm saying. And saying, Lord, I want your righteous acts to be a part of me. And as he began to talk to me, you know what he said? He didn't tell me to, you know, necessarily stop doing this or stop doing that. You know what he said to me? He said, just let me do more through you. You see, the righteous act isn't you trying to be more righteous or trying to do more good things or more right things. Because if you're doing that, you're doing it in your own strength. And in Isaiah, it says, our righteous acts are as filthy rags before the Lord. So in other words, it's not about you and I trying to be good or trying to do right, but rather it's letting Jesus and his goodness and righteousness come in us and then flow through us and out of us. So in other words, anything that we do that are, quote, our righteous acts are just really, it's an act of obedience to let Jesus work in and through us. And it's so much easier because you're not trying to make it happen. It's not like you're just letting it happen. And are you willing to do that today? You see, as I thought about this whole thing, this event, this banquet in heaven, is this something that is going to be prepared? Think about this. John was caught up in the Spirit. You can read it for yourself. He was caught up in the Spirit, and the angel took him to the preparation. So are millions upon millions of people in harmony worshiping the Lord right now? Is this banquet table being prepared right now? Are we being called right now as the bride to participate? You know what my answer is? You betcha, right here and right now. You see, if you look at this as a future thing, then you're just going to kind of lose sight of it. But if you realize that you are the bride of Christ right now, and that literally the banquet's being prepared right now, where's your focus going to be? Now, let me talk to some of the brides who are here who have gotten married. I've never been a bride, so us guys, we're a little bit, we got issues in trying to cope with this, but we're going to do our best here, all right? But for you ladies and guys, try to follow me with this. You know, during, you know, that wedding week, you know, getting ready and everything, what are you thinking about? Are you worried about the dishes in the sink? Are you worried about some future job down the road? Or are you worried about maybe something you did wrong 10 years ago? You're not giving any of that any thought. You know what you're thinking about? You're thinking about the day. And you're thinking about what's going to go on past that day as you walk with your groom, right? Maybe that's how we, as believers in Christ, should be living and thinking right now. But what happens is we get caught up in the mundane things of life, the temporary things of life. And I get that we got to do the dishes. You know, I get that we got to pay the bills. We got to do all that. But where's your heart really? Is it focused on the realm of the Spirit where your bridegroom is? And where there's amazing things that God wants to reveal to us and do in our lives right here and now? You see, if you see this as some future event, you're just going to kind of put it off. You're just going to kind of do the things that you do. Think, oh yeah, okay, in heaven, yeah, it's all going to happen. I want to suggest to you that Jesus wants to court you right now. That he wants to date you, if you understand what I'm saying. He wants to hang with you right now. He wants you to experience his presence right here and right now. He wants you to experience the realm of the Spirit now. Don't keep thinking future that everything's going to be okay in heaven. While it will be good in heaven and will be okay, he wants it to be good right now with him. Are you willing to make that decision to cross over, in a sense, from living, thinking, breathing in the natural to living in the realm of the Spirit. For some of you here, maybe listening or sitting here, you may be saying, well, I've never really thought about that. Well, start thinking about it. My point is that it's an option for you. It's there. I remember I talked to someone a number of years ago who had never read the Bible. They had accepted Jesus and never read the Bible. And they came to me a while later and said, I can't believe all the stuff that's in there. In other words, they just didn't know. And here's the thing. Some of us just don't know what's available. Heaven is available for you here on earth right now. You know, do not live future tense. Live now with Jesus, your bridegroom. And so we talked a little bit about this concept that you can't doubt but believe that he's King of Kings. Why? Why? Come on. Why? So that you could hear his calling, so you could hear his voice. In other words, God is wanting to talk to you right now. So I want to move on to another little area for just a few moments. You know, the Lord was speaking to me about this, and if you watch the teaser video, I made a point that I wanted to talk about healing today. You notice, I haven't even said the word healing once until now, and we're at the tail end of things. Here's the reality of it. Healing has some prerequisites. And part of that prerequisite is to realize that you're part of a kingdom that's not of this world. So I'm not against physical doctors. We need doctors, all right? So I'm not putting that aside. What I'm saying to you is that there's a healer of healers. And he knows the answer to every healing that you have. Now, if healing was easy, can I just be frank with you right now? If healing was easy, wouldn't every Christian be healed? So we recognize that there are some roadblocks, some hindrances to our healing. Whether that healing be physical healing, emotional healing, psychological healing, sexual healing, you know, all the different gamuts of all the different kinds of healings that are necessary in different individual lives, that there must be couple of roadblocks. I only want to talk about one today because it's the biggest roadblock of all to your healing and my healing. And here's the thing. We've all experienced a certain level of healing. If you're a believer in Christ, the Bible says that you've been healed from your sins. That in fact, I'm going to be quite honest with you. If that's the only healing that you ever get, thumbs up to you. You get what I'm saying? You're going to heaven. It's a good deal, okay? So, you know, let's not diminish that in any way. But I'm here to tell you that that's the beginning of your healing. That God wants to give you far greater healing than just that, even though that is more than enough. But we serve a good God. He wants to give us more than just enough. He's an abundant, good God. And so, if you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to be finishing with this portion of Scripture today. And it does connect. You're going to see this in a couple minutes. Matthew 18, beginning at verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payments be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. Verse 29, so his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you, each of you, from his heart. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So as we read this account, first of all, it begins. The kingdom of heaven is like. Now, this is, in my Bible, it's in red letters. You know what that means? Jesus was saying this, all right? So, you know, it's from the mouth of God. And he's saying, look at the realm of the Spirit. Because when you say kingdom of heaven, the realm of the Spirit, the way things are done in heaven is like this. And he goes on and tells this account, this parable. And it's of a master, you know, of a ruler. And how this servant owed him talents. That's millions of dollars. So we're talking about a lot of money owed him. And so, you know, the way the rules were back then, if you couldn't pay, you went to prison. That's how it worked out. And so that servant begged that master, said, look, you know, forgive me, give me a chance, give me a little more time. And not only did that master give him more time, but said, look, we're square. Forgave him millions of dollars of debt. Just scratched it off, said, we're good. Can you imagine how happy that servant should have been? Can you imagine the release from all that burden, the stress of owing that to his master? Gone. So then what does that servant go and do? He goes and he finds this guy that owes him a couple $100. Okay, so literally that's the difference here. Millions of dollars, a couple $100, all right? And he says to that guy, hey, you owe me, which is true. Did owe him. And what did that servant do? He begged him. He said, look, give me a little more time. I'll pay you. But what did that servant do that had been forgiven much? Went and had that guy thrown in prison. Now, some of the other servants heard what was going on, went back to the main master, said, look, this is what happened. And the master called in that servant that had been forgiven much and said, look, it doesn't work. I'm paraphrasing, but basically, no, it doesn't work that way. What I give you, you're supposed to give to others. As you've experienced grace and forgiveness from me, that's what you're to do to others. I want to suggest to you that right now, that for some people here, your healing cannot come because you have unforgiveness in your heart. I'm just going to be quite honest with you about it. Now, if I had told you that I was going to talk about unforgiveness today, probably half of you wouldn't be here today. So I talked about the results of forgiveness, which is healing. But let's talk about unforgiveness for a few moments. You may say to me, the minute I said it, somebody's face came to mind, or a circumstance or a situation came to mind. I know it. I've sat where you sit. So I get it. So you know what that means? If that situation, that person came to mind when I mentioned unforgiveness, that means you have unforgiveness. You can deny it. You can say, no. But because that person's face, situation came to mind, you got it. All right? So here's the thing. It starts by admitting you got it. Don't just paint a smile on your face. Pretend it's not happening to you. Because let me tell you something. It's eating you like cancer. And in fact, I could go on. I got a page of notes here from different medical journals that actually directly correlate unforgiveness to stress and things like autoimmune disease, cancer, long-term illnesses. It's unbelievable, the correlation that the world even has recognized as an issue. How much more for us as believers in Christ, knowing that unforgiveness will impact us? In fact, if we look back at this parable, what happened? Because of unforgiveness, they were separated from one another. See, forgiveness brings you back together. Now, am I suggesting that you're going to forgive someone that's done some horrendous things to you and then you're going to become their best friend? No. No, I'm not suggesting that at all. But what I am telling you, that unless you forgive that person, their problem is your problem. And it's literally like a ball and chain. In the realm of spirit, you're connected to that circumstance, to that person, and you're dragging it around everywhere you go, and it's hindering you from your fullness of healing in that area. So you can't grow. You can't move on. And so if that image, that name, that circumstance, that person or persons came to your mind, it's time today to let it go. And you're saying, but I can't, or I've been trying. Okay. You can't do this yourself. But it also begins with recognizing how much forgiveness you've received. You see, the millions of dollars of debt that one servant received, that was God just letting it go. That's what God has done for everyone that's asked Jesus to come into their hearts. He has forgiven you of everything you have done, you're doing now, or ever will do. That's unbelievable when you think about it. No matter how bad, you get what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. Thought, word, action. He has totally forgiven you. It's erased. And what he wants you to do is take that same experience you have with him and extend it this way. So you get it from this way, and then to spread it this way to those around you. Let me tell you something. Unforgiveness is a ball and chain. I have a situation back when I was in business years ago, 30 plus years ago. Guy owed me thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars. And it wasn't that I had done anything wrong. I did everything I was supposed to do. The guy just refused to pay. And so I was pretty mad about it. And it was a Christian person. And didn't go to the church I went to, went to a different church. I wrote to the pastor, and I did everything I'm supposed to do according to the scripture. And this went on for years. And I thought, you know, I put it to the back of my mind. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You push it to the back of your mind, but it's there. It's like lurking in the shadows. So one day, Sandra and I, my family, my kids were all just little guys. We went to this steakhouse place. This was in Canada. So we're there, you know, eating, having a nice time. Sunday after church, you know, just having a nice time with my family. And I look across, and it's probably about half, maybe 30, 40 feet away. I see the guy. And he's sitting there with his pastor, all table full of people, and they're eating away. And I'm like, oh, I freak. I'm like, that guy, you know, it'd be one thing if he's sitting at home trying to figure out how to pay me, but here he is stuffing his face at this restaurant. I literally started to climb over the. I manifested. Now I'm a pretty. You see a reformed person here now. I know that scares you a little bit now, right? But back in the day. I was scary even to myself, all right? I start climbing over the table. Literally, I'm climbing. I didn't even get up to go around. I'm climbing over the table to get to this guy. My wife, my little wife, God bless her, grabs hold of my pants and is pulling me back. And she gets me yanked back and says, and whispers into my ear, you don't want to do this. And she kept holding on. If she had let go, I might have said, I do want to do this. But she just held, literally, she's holding on, drags me back to my chair. She literally gets behind, holds me down, says, okay, I know you're upset right now, but you just need to. So I you know, take those deep breaths, you know. But I'm still, the whole time, I couldn't eat anymore. I was sick about the whole thing. Go home, life goes on. This is, you know, this has been going on for a long time. So here's what you'll find, that two things happen when you have unforgiveness in your heart. You either tell everybody about it that's close to you, or it's like a volcano on the inside that just is there ready to explode. So I was with a friend one day, we're driving along, and as usual, it came out about this guy done me wrong and everything. So this guy, God bless him, he listened to me vent. And so I'm sitting there, I can picture it like it was yesterday. But it was 30-something years ago. I'm sitting there in the car. And he turns to me and says, you got to forgive the guy. So I freak almost as much as I did, you know. I'm like, you're crazy, you know. And I'm like, you know, this guy did. And he goes, yeah, but who's got the problem? And all of a sudden, down in my spirit, I knew that though he had done wrong, his wrong was now impacting my life. And here's what my friend says. He says, you've got to confess it and let it go. He says, and you know what I said? I don't want to. And I know what some of you guys are thinking to say, I don't want to. And you want to go back into he did or she did, and you want to go on and on and on and on about it. And so I started doing that, and he says, it's not an emotion. I'm not telling you that you have to feel good about this, but you need to make a decision. You see, that's the difference between this world and the kingdom of heaven. It's not emotionally based. Heaven is not, living in the realm of the Spirit is not emotionally based. Doesn't mean you don't have emotions, but it's decision based. You make a decision, a right decision, and then the corresponding emotions, the right ones, will eventually come. But if you're waiting for the right emotion to feel ooey gooey happy feelings about forgiving that person that did you wrong, you're going to wait a long time. It ain't happening. Let's just put it that way. So at that point, I realized what I had to do. Now, I'm grumbling on the inside. You got to understand, I'm churning. I'm a mess. And he said it again. He said, you know, you really got to do this. I'm like, ugh. So I remember it like it was yesterday. I said, Lord, I forgive this man. And I can tell you, God be my witness, I felt something come off my chest, literally, and leave that car. I was changed. Because of that decision, of verbalizing that forgiveness. I was changed. And you don't realize it's holding you back as much as it is till it's gone. It's just, it's an amazing event that happened in my life, life-changing. It's part of the reason why I'm telling you and talking about this. I've talked about unforgiveness before over the years. I think it's something we have to return to because maybe you weren't ready back then to be able to let it go. But here's what I know. If God has brought it to my attention, there's some people here, right now, watching us online. It's time. You've carried this thing enough. You've even grown comfortable with it. But it's hindering you from accepting the healing that God's got for you. You see, it's a roadblock, and God wants to heal you. Karen, you want to come up? We're going to finish today with the second last song, No One But You. You see, we are the bride of Christ. And think about this. Your bridegroom wants to do everything and anything possible to bless you. And one of those things is healing. But there's some things that even the bridegroom can't do for you. Now, he can help you. He can hold your hand. He can be there for you. But only you can confess. Only you can say, I forgive, insert the name or the circumstance. And I know there's some horrendous things that have happened here. I know some of you personally. I've heard the stories. I understand how bad some of these things are that has happened. But here's what I'm telling you. It's affecting you more than it's affecting the person that's done this. C.S. Lewis said this, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. That's pretty good, isn't it? God has totally forgiven you and cleansed you. We need to forgive others with God's help. See, that's the difference. If you tried to do it on your own, you can't. But with the Holy Spirit of God there, He will help you. So let's stand together. We're going to sing part of the song, No One But You. And make it your prayer that there is no one but you. See, here's something I'm just going to say. This is before we sing this song. You see, when you have unforgiveness in your heart, that means you have another king in your life. You might say, well, what do you mean? Well, here's the thing. When there's unforgiveness in your heart, that person has authority in your life. That circumstance has authority. They're ruling and reigning part of your life. There should be only one king, only one, King Jesus. Amen. Let's go ahead, Karen.
Who can melt the hardest heart? Speak life into my soul. Who can spin the world? Hold me ever close. Who can search the depths of me? Love me to the core. Who controls the thank you.
going to ask you to do a bold thing right where you're standing. Those watching as well, this applies to you. But you know you need to forgive someone. You know it. You know, I began to talk about it, that image, that circumstance, that situation, that person came to mind. All I'm asking you to do, slip your hand up, just to acknowledge to the Lord, to say, yeah, I got unforgiveness. Be honest with the Lord. You see, you can't be honest with yourself, then you can't be honest with the Lord. Put your hand up to the Lord. Lord, you see these hands raised all through the sanctuary here. Lord, I know that those at home, they've raised their hand as well. Even those that will be watching this after the live recording, and they've put their hands up saying, that's me. Lord, you see those individuals as well. Father, I thank you for the power of forgiveness. I thank you, Lord, for the freedom there is in forgiveness. And so, Lord, we don't focus so much on the other person, the other circumstance. We focus right now upon what you want to do in our hearts and our lives, right here and right now at this moment. So, Father, right now, you see these raised hands. You see the circumstances surrounding each of those hands, the people, everything that's happened. And, Lord, I pray right now in the power of Jesus, in his name, the name of Jesus, that, Lord God, that each person that has a raised hand here right now can say, I forgive. Just say that out loud. If you got that hand raised, just say it. I forgive. And then insert that circumstance, that person, whoever, whatever it is. Just say, I forgive. And it may be difficult. You may feel like you got marbles in your mouth, that you can hardly do it. But I encourage you to do it right here and right now. Because there's forgiveness here right now for you. Because Jesus promises it. Said this is, as you forgive others, I forgive them as well. Father, I thank you. I thank you to be our King, that you've done it all for us, that we are your children, and that you desire healing for each and every one of us. But there are some things you can't do for us. So, Lord, I thank you for those that have made that decision right now to forgive and to move on in a greater healing in their lives, body, soul, and spirit. Father, right now I speak a blessing upon those here that attended physically, for those that are watching online. I just pray right now in Jesus' name that you make yourself more real as our King in your kingdom, in our lives, here and now. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And every believer believing for good things said, amen, amen. God bless you this morning. You'd like prayer for anything? We are here for you. God bless you.